We continue on with the front row for the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500 presented by Gainbridge, starting third. He is the defending champion of the 500. Two-time NTT IndyCar Series champion, driver the number two Shell Powering Progress, Team Penske Chevrolet. Joseph Newgarden is in the middle to his right, starting second, the 2018 winner of the Indy 500, two-time NTT IndyCar Series champion, driver the number 12 Horizon Business, Team Penske Chevrolet, it's Will Power. And to your right, on pole for Sunday's race, the fastest pole speed in 500 history, driver the number three Pennzoil Team Penske Chevrolet, it's Scott McLaughlin. And Joseph, we'll start with you. Hi, how you doing?
Hey.
How's your week going?
It's good. It's really good so far. You know, we're one day closer
yeah.
to the big show. So I'm doing great. Thanks.
How's the car?
Car's fantastic. You know, this has been a really pleasurable month so far. I mean, for the whole team, you know, I was just having a conversation with Hinchcliffe, and I think this team, you can see every individual in this team has been really proud of the effort, as they should be. This is what they achieved on the weekend is not easy to do, you know, to make the cars as quick as they are. You know, this didn't happen overnight. Everybody that's been here the last 4 years knows that we've, you know, not had speed in the cars. And we've been chipping away. We've been getting closer. Last year was a big step. I think, you know, we kind of, you know, got pretty close, but we were still a little off. And this year, I think we really, you know, turned the page. So just proud for the team. Everyone's really happy, excited. And, you know, I think for me, it's the opportunity to be here, to be in the race. It's a big deal to run the Indy 500, and you know, just excited to see what we can do on Sunday.
Will, the cars are obviously really good. How crucial is tomorrow's practice then?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's I think you just be doing engine checks, a new engine. Not much for us. Not much. I mean, it's a funny place. It's pretty finicky, so it, you know, the balance could go out. You could have a perfect car on Monday, and then it can be a little. A little bit out of balance, but I can't see big changes. Or, you know, I've been here where you've just thrown everything at it at this point, like on carb day, where like, man, I just don't feel comfortable. And that hasn't been the case this month, so I'm hoping for a pretty straightforward day tomorrow. And then just hate waiting for the race. This is the worst time, like these few days. Just want to get into it, you know.
Yeah, Scott, what's it like just trying to think? And how do you stay on top of things, making sure you're good to go, even though maybe you feel like you're good to go, but you never know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think carb days, it's more of a like parade of anything. You know, you're just trying to sort out your car and your engine, like Will said. I feel like I'm definitely in a spot where I've got a really good, comfortable race car underneath me. So just, you know, finalizing some downforce levels and a few things, but overall, you know, in and out laps and a few things that are going to be pretty critical in the race. We'll finalize a few of them and braking markers and whatnot. But, ultimately, you know, obviously a really cool week. And as Joseph touched on, I think everyone's just really proud and excited to get ahead to the race. And, it's an awesome deal right now.
All right. Questions for the front row for the Indy 500. Let's begin here with Chris, then Nate, and we'll work around here on this side and then that side.
Last year, Joseph, you said that your car was like almost really similar to what you had at the open test, like it was almost perfect. For all three of you, how different is your car now compared to what it was, whether it was at the open test or the first day of practice? Like, how much have y'all changed on it so far?
For me, it's just a little downforce change, but basically, fundamentally, very exactly the same as how I started, really.
Same.
Yeah, I changed a little bit. Yeah, not much. It's pretty similar, just little details. It's, you know, that's just how this place is.
Nate Ryan.
Everybody says you can win here from anywhere, but when Colton was in here earlier, he was talking about how it's more difficult if you're farther back because you're depending on taking chances and gambles and not getting caught out. Where you guys are, for you three, how much more do you feel like maybe you can control the race if things break your way, starting 1, 2, 3, knowing that it is kind of track position oriented?
I don't know. I just think, you know, I'm not an expert around here, but I don't think you can ever get ahead of yourself, you know, regardless of where you are. If you're starting up front and you think you got the fastest car in the field, or you're starting in the back row, you know, I do believe it's true nowadays. You know, if you look at the current formula, you can win from anywhere. And anything can happen in this race. I mean, the day could be going great for the first 150 laps, and all of a sudden it turns. And vice versa. You could also have a terrible day until lap 150, and all of a sudden it turns. So it is true that when you start up front, I think the opportunity to control the race is a little bit better. It's higher. But, you know, having said that as well, like, you just don't want to hang your hat on that, because that, I think that's getting ahead of yourself. So I think you have to be prepared for any circumstance, any opportunity. It's great to have fast cars. It's great to be in position, but you got to be ready for that to change at any moment.
Any thoughts on that, Scott? I mean, starting first, I mean, you're controlling the pace to some extent for that first run, I guess, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, the draft and everything these days, like, it's a whole lot different to how it used to be in some ways. So from watching races back, you know, I think it's just, you know, you control what you can control. I said it to you, you know, I'm not really, I just race my race and hopefully the cards fall my way, but I'm pretty focused on just executing right now.
One follow-up for Will real quick. You were just talking about, like, that wait to get to the race. Does that get worse when you look at the forecast for Sunday, or, you know, God forbid it's we have to wait a little bit longer on Sunday? Does that make it even worse?
Yeah, that's actually something I've never experienced in all my times here since 2008. There hasn't been a rain delay, so it's about time we got that. I mean, and the law of averages is going to happen at some point. It's looking like that could be Sunday. I hope not. I really do. I hope you just get it in.
Let's go, Tim May, second row. Go ahead.
Yeah, Joseph, I think we asked you this a little bit after the race last year, but the move you made coming out of four and stuff, was that spur of the moment? Had you always thought, if I'm ever in this position, I'm going to do something like that? And what does it mean to you to have a kind of a rule, you know, named after you to a certain extent?
I don't know that it's named after me. I wouldn't.
I know I was being facetious.
Well, I know that it was published as that, but, you know, in reality, it's happened quite a bit over the last couple of years. I think that's this style of racing really crept in. I mean, if you want to date it, probably back to Montoya in 2015 is where it started creeping in. And it's, you know, it is in response to the style of racing that we have. The way we compete and the way the cars draft, it's very, very difficult to find an advantage. You know, you can be at points just exposed when you're sitting in the lead and you have cars behind you. So to answer your question, I think last year was a combination of historical approach but also reaction. You know, I knew immediately when I went into turn three and I saw where Marcus was positioned, he was very tightly tucked behind me. I thought, well, man, you know, the opportunity for him to get back by me before the line was pretty high. So, you know, I knew the rules at that point with the line, and they weren't policing it, and you had to use it. So, you know, the response to change that, I think, is unanimously liked by everybody. We've all wanted it to change. So it's good that they're going to be doing that now. I don't know that it'll change the racing style too much, but it will certainly change that little portion.
Right next door to you, Tim. Yep.
Will.
Yeah.
You said something about the little details to get to that point with the car, not just the engine or the voice, but you touch a little on dampers. Can you explain?
On what?
On the dampers.
Oh, the dampers, yeah.
Can you go a little further on that to understand what happened over there that you are not used to do last year?
It would have been a very small improvement there. We already had pretty good dampers. I mean, it's just a combination of a lot of little things, basically. Yeah, it's not, there's no one magic bullet here. It's a lot of details.
And Scott, I hear that you tell about the process to get into the pole position, that you saw the videos of your teammates. And I'm just thinking, just since I hear your answer, do you have a balance to know what is the thing that I want to accomplish with the car, or is more like have the confidence to know what way not to go?
Ultimately, you've got to trust yourself in some ways, like what you want from the car and the feedback you're feeling from the car. And majority, 95% of the time, is different. My feeling is different to what Joseph feels or Will feels, like, to a certain degree. So there's like a little bit there you've just got to separate yourself from and figure out what works best for you. And I felt like we really nailed that down here in the last month. And I felt really comfortable. But yeah, I did look at their videos, especially Will's, for the qualifying over Saturday night. Figured there was just couple of lines I was taking that were slightly differently. I tried them in practice, it worked, and you know, thankfully it sort of paid off for the fast 12 and that. So, but it's all about, you've got to, you know, find those, you know, when we're so close, we're all very, you know, close, very good drivers. You know, we're all pushing each other really hard. You've got to try and find that little bit. And that was probably my process, looking through that stuff and figuring it out and seeing what I wanted from the race car.
Let's go Bruce, then we'll work the other side of the room, beginning with Jenna. Go ahead, Bruce.
Joseph, between the angle of entry, entering turn one from the outside, and also the fact that nobody ever really runs up there, how tricky is it to be up there at the very start of the race?
You're talking on the outside of turn one?
Yes, the outside of Rome.
I mean, it's always, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever started third here. So I'm going to find out with you if it's tricky or not. I hope it's not tricky. Is it not? Okay. My goodness. I love Will. He's my favorite. Yeah, we're gonna find out together, Bruce. Let's hope we get through this start and we got a race on our hands. That would be nice.
That would be amazing if you didn't make turn one.
Could you imagine?
You like went the outside swings around.
I'm not worried about putting this into the atmosphere, but it would be
just
hilarious.
Like, understood in the wall.
Just yeah, Bruce is like, it was difficult to start yeah. on the high
just
side.
Like bend
yeah.
like a yeah. totally
tweets.
A little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, I asked him. He said he didn't know.
Bruce will be like,
we'll see, Bruce.
I mean, it's probably the best time to do it. Probably the cleanest time.
Yeah, it is.
Safe to start.
But the coating room on the outside. So
Scott, how much of an advantage does it help for you to start on the inside of row one?
Oh, I mean, we'll find out together, Bruce. I've never started on the pole, mate.
The middle's good, Bruce. The middle, you get the double draft. I'll probably be leading out of turn one, so...
He is now.
This is off in the question.
Getting tight.
Rent free in their head right now. You good?
Let's turns go. Out Rossi will be P1 by turn one. Big drop. Yeah.
Thanks, Madeline.
Hi, I have two questions for all of you. Santino was in here right before you. He talked about the things on his car that he's using that came from Team Penske. You guys say you're not using any stuff that came from Foy. Is that correct? Because he says it's not correct.
We didn't say any. We said it was a small part.
A small part, okay.
Yes.
But not their setups and
definitely not.
Not
okay. I'm running my setup from last year. Same
okay.
dampers, same setup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any of the rest of you?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's exactly right, Will.
Okay. My next question is Simon's coming on Sunday, and he's going to do a tribute lap for Gilles Deferrin. I don't know, Scott, you probably had no relation or very little relationship with Jill, but I don't know about the other two of you. What do you think that'll be like, and what did Jill mean to Team Penske, even though his time was over before you guys were Team Penske drivers?
Well, I didn't, you know, I just heard this morning that he was doing that, and I think it's really beautiful that that's happening. You know, Jill, he was a tremendous, I mean, people have spoke to great length about Jill. He was a tremendous ambassador for motorsports. He was just a fantastic guy. You know, he got along with everybody and felt like, you know, he was an easy person to talk to for, I think, anybody in this paddock, someone to lean on. And for Simon, they were, you know, as everybody knows, they were very close. So I think it's special that he's going to be, you know, doing a tribute in his car. I'm happy it's happening. Like, it was really cool to hear that this morning. So I'm sure everybody in the paddock's going to be, you know, loving to see that.
Do you go, Tony? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah, I always enjoyed talking to Jill. Very technically savvy. And he was a good guy, very good guy. Yeah, he was great to talk about the mental side of racing, and got to swap a helmet with him. And, yeah, he was always at the Penske dinners, and you'd see him around at certain races. Yes, he was, top-level driver. He probably stopped too soon.
We go Tony and then Justin. Tony, go ahead.
Scott, sorry. Obviously, you've worked with Ben since you've come on board of the three car, the whole Thirsty Threes. What has he talked about that has like helped you possibly throughout the years as you've gotten more comfortable, and now that you know he's been in a pole position before, now you're in a pole position? Like, how does he kind of help, and the team's helped you get ready for that?
I mean, various ways. I think the way that I used to work with Jonathan Duggar when I first got here, and then I've got Ben in 2022, and both those guys are very different characters and how they work, but ultimately it's just the fundamentals. And I think Ben allowed me to sort of just, even regardless of my experience on ovals and whatnot, trusting my feeling, as I said before, and trusting, you know, that, you know, what I say and what I could feedback to the car, just there's no sort of wrong feedback. If it's something you can't feel, say that. If it's, you know, something you're just not feeling comfortable with, you know, make sure I say it. He's just really, I guess it's easy to be an open book with Ben. He's a very easy person to talk to, and it helps with very close friends. So really, yeah, I've enjoyed working with Benny, and absolutely, he's got a lot of experience around this place. I think he builds a really nice oval car, and you know, for a guy he's been box number one before at this race in 2019 with Simon, so he's got a lot of experience up there too, so it's nice to have him in my corner.
Justin, you can wrap us up.
Yeah, two quick ones. First, Joseph, a year ago today, you were doing the same thing, media room, looking forward to the race, trying to get the win. What's this past year like, Ben? How have you changed? How have you matured since winning last year?
It feels really similar to me in a lot of ways. You know, I just have, I feel a lot of respect for this facility and this race, this track. It's a tough day to get right, you know. Everything's got to, in a lot of ways, go your way. You know, I don't care how good you are. It's got to be perfect. And, you know, we were fortunate enough as a team, as a group, where it fell into place for us. We had a great car. It's one of the best cars I've ever driven around here. Made my job pretty easy, and you know, circumstance-wise, and the way it all flowed, it was our day. So I feel the same in that regard. I think I've got another great race car. Really, you know, excited to be here. And you know, I had sort of let go of the fact that I was ever going to win this race. It's such a tough race to win that I think you had to be comfortable with that. And I think that rings true for a second. You know, I'm happy to be here, happy to have a shot, and. There's nothing like the Indianapolis 500. I know that. So that's how I feel. I feel the same way, and, you know, pleased to be here.
And for all three of you, I'm sure the boss is thrilled that you're 1-2-3 going into this race. But, and I've asked you guys this various races before, but when do you guys turn off this friendship camaraderie thing? And then when the flag drops, is that how that goes as far as, like, all three of you individually want to win, all in the same team? How do you guys mentally approach that thing?
It's interesting. Stand up, would you? It's interesting because the race starts in a way slowly. It's, you know, not speed wise, but just as far as aggression, and it really ramps up in the last 50. So, you know, I think it's, you know, the further back you are, the more aggressive you have to be to put yourself in the position at the end. But it's a pretty cruisy start in a way, sort of fall in line, sort of. Just get through that first stint and then just, you know, slowly work on your car. So it will be every man for themselves, basically, when it comes down to it. If it coming down to the win, it is what it is.
As long as we don't take each other out, the boss is happy. That's the main thing.
Yeah, it's a bad problem, a good problem, sorry, to have. It's a real good problem to have three of us, but I don't think they like that. I know it really is nerve-wracking for the higher ups like Roger and Tim to watch all three cars have to battle for a win. I know Tim said it to me before, like, you know, what can you do? It's, you know, you just hate to see an incident, but he understands that it's such a big event that it really is every man for themselves.